Yo, this is James, back at it with the 79th Street Podcast. You know, if you feel like you need some help and some tips and tricks to be successful in college, this is the podcast for you. Let's get it. All right, what's up, everybody? This is James, back at it with the 79th Street Podcast. Today, we're going to do a two-part series, and for this first part, we want to talk about Greek life, and we just want to give you the perspective from fraternities. And so I want to start off, and I'm going to pass it to my homie, my brother, Hosiel. Y'all probably done heard me talk about Hosiel because, you know, we was in them trenches in grad school together, but I want to allow him to introduce himself.
Thanks, James. Appreciate you, man. It's definitely a pleasure to be on your show, man. I know you're doing great things, and I was excited to be here, man. So thanks for the invite. I know we're talking about Greek life. Technically, in this group, I am the eldest one here. And so I crossed February 26th in 2010 with my ship LS Mach 4 through Sigma Lambda Beta International Fraternity Incorporated.
All right. Hello, everybody. James, shout out to you. Just like Hosiel mentioned, thank you for inviting me to be on here. It's a privilege. It's an honor to share the wealth and knowledge to the next generation of students up and coming. My name is Sergio Gutierrez. I crossed Sigma Lambda Beta on Spring 13, April 7th, 2013, to be exact, with my ship LS Scepter. Hosiel is actually my A-dope. That's probably something that we could talk about. Probably in a few questions. Upcoming questions, but thank you for having me. It's a privilege to be here.
What's up, Ship, man? I appreciate you having me on, man. I know I had to hop on your 79th podcast. My name is Samuel O. Ballett. I'm a part of Phi Rho Eta Fraternity Incorporated. I crossed in April 19, 2014. So we about to turn seven real soon. Shit, we getting old, man. We getting old. But yeah, man, appreciate you letting me hop on your podcast, man. Let's get it.
Hey, everybody. Thanks, King James, for shouting me out, having me join you guys tonight. It's an honor to come check you out and connect with you guys on here tonight. My name is Colin Davidson. I crossed Iota Phi Theta April 26th, spring 2014. Solo. So I did it alone. Captain Anchor Riddler is the name. So what's up?
I appreciate y'all, man. I really do appreciate y'all. Like I say, you know, y'all real. Like I said, I still rock with y'all. And I think even after, you know, not being on a college campus, you know, we still have done a good job of, you know, just keeping in contact. And so, as Sam alluded to, I'm also a member of Phi Rho Eta Fraternity Incorporated. We cross together. So when he say ship, you know, that just means we're line brothers. So we're on the same line. We crossed at the same time. So I'll do my best to try to if there's something that may not make sense, to just try to explain it for people. So the first question, and it can start anywhere. Why did you join your organization?
If y'all want, we can just go on order. We can go on order again.
I could go. What's up? Whatever you want. All right, go ahead, bro. All right, so for me joining Iota Phi Theta, my fraternity wasn't active on my campus at the time. And upon graduation, getting closer to graduation, outside of leadership, I haven't did anything with a fraternity or anything. So that was like the last resort before I graduated. And to bring back, my thing was, I think like this, having an inactive chapter, not active or present on campus, I wanted to challenge myself to see if I could bring it back. And when I joined, it was just me on the yard. I had a couple older bros around, but you know, we had a few probates after me. We ended up with eight guys on the yard when I got my master's. So we brought our chapter back and we made ourselves relevant again. So to me, that was my challenge. That's something I wanted to do.
I can go next. For me, it's something different. Probably for all those who might be listening, they might not know what Greek life is. I didn't know what Greek life was when I got to college. It's something that my uncle asked me if I was going to do Greek life. I honestly had no idea. But my first Towards the end of my first year being active on campus with another organization called SOL, Supporting Opportunities for Latinos, it was a male-only Latino-based retention program. I got to see some of my what would be brothers active on in that organization and active around campus doing all these events, having a few social gatherings as well, but just seeing their seeing how active they were and how much they were contributing back to the community and me wanting to become active and help out in the community is what encouraged me to join them or join us at the end.
Yeah, I could go next. My first introduction to the Brotherhood was actually in high school. I had no idea what Greek Life was, never did I. Had no clue. The way that I was introduced was through my cousin at the time, who was also who eventually became my dean. I was a junior in high school. He was like, "Hey, man, I got my brother. I'm trying to get him excited about college. You and him should come out to NIU and check us out just to come to college, right?" And at that point, college was not on my mind. My high school was not really pushing the agenda of college. And so not that they weren't pushing it. I wasn't pursuing it. I'll say that. I wasn't really confident in going to college. But man, we went out there and sure enough, it was around the weekend that U of I had a huge Greek exhibition. So I was like 27, I was 17 years old at U of I's like Greek competition. I had no idea what they were doing, man. It was a complete culture shock. I completely forgot that memory, right? A few years later, I come through the chance program to the school that I pledged at. And my first semester, my cousin pretty much, he didn't give me options. He didn't really let me know what was happening, what was what. And I'm gonna be honest with you, I didn't know Greek life. Even after that exhibition, after that competition, I still didn't pursue it, nor did I know it was for me. It wasn't until I actually got to campus that that my cousin was like, "Yeah, man, you're just gonna do this." And at that time, I didn't really have any reason to combat that, just because all the brothers that were in the fraternity all graduated. And that's what I knew for sure I needed to happen as a freshman, Latino, Hispanic male. I knew that there wasn't too many folks like myself that got there. And so I needed to hold on to the people that could support me. And that's pretty much why I joined. I needed a whole support system, and that's what the Brotherhood was at NIU.
So while I joined, I was actually a freshman when I actually crossed. So I was, I was always wanted to join a fraternity when I watched Stump the Yard, all of that. So I was like, "Man, what's that? I need to get into that." So once I actually joined, I was like looking, researching, doing my research on campus. Like my organization that I joined, Faro Ada, they was doing mentoring. So when I was in high school, I was always doing mentoring. Junior, senior year, I was doing my mentoring. So I wanted to continue that. So then I also got introduced to the Brotherhood, just going to the events that they had. They was really, doing stuff for the campus and then more of the community development on mentorship. And that's what drew me in. So I was like, "Yeah, I got to be a part of this." And it's also a newer fraternity outside of the Divine Nine, where it's more of the all Black organizations. This is also an all Black organization. So I wanted to, change the narrative a little bit and be innovative and see what we can leave a legacy. So definitely had to be a part of.
Hey, I always tell people I ain't want to be Greek. Like I went almost 4 years before I thought about it. Like, I was approached, by a number of different orgs, but I think what ultimately led me to, just Greek life was just seeing my bro. So I think kind of similar to Sergio, being in the Black Male Initiative group and having a lot of bros come through that program, and they all was just, looking out for me. And then on the back end of it, I could see the point of it where I was like, this is why I needed to be in a Greek organization, because, it gave you more, input. It gave you more pull around campus where you were able to bridge a lot of gaps with different group of students than what I was already interacting. And I definitely hold that to be true, because like you know, me and my line brother Sam, we're like, I don't want to say we're polar opposites, but we're like polar opposites. So the people I was interacting with and the people he was interacting with was like two different types of groups of people. And I just remember when I came in, like them people, like just, hey, James, what's good, bro? Like, what you on? You know, and it's like, I'm like, well, I would never have thought I would be in, you know, in some of these circles, you know, just from, you know, having that connection, but also just going Greek where, you know, more people are kind of spotlight you. Not saying I wasn't doing enough stuff outside of that, because I was, but I feel like Greek life took it to another level, if you ask me. So what has, you want to add something, bro?
Yeah, man, I was just going to say, yeah, definitely, man. I think Greek life, or in my case, my fraternity, gave me the foundation to what became a successful experience at my institution. You know, I think I was able to leverage what I learned early in the Greek game, and that just kind of spread outside of Greek life too, man. After that, I have to say, like, I started in Greek life and then I kind of sprouted out into normal life.
Right.
So, sure, man. Yeah, I'll add on a little bit more. So I know when I joined when I was actually a freshman. So I had to grow up a little faster than people. So once I, you know, my ships, John, that's not on here, you know, he being a good father right now. And then James, of course, right here, they're older than me. So they was teaching me, like I'm the only child. So they like my big brother. So they teach me how to, you know, go about college and, you know, how I should, you know, be networking with people, connecting with different organizations, and just connecting with people in general. So it was different for me because I was trying to party and turn up like my first semester. Then when I actually pledged, man, it changed my life around, and I was really focused. And man, I really, really happy I joined, man.
So the next question is, what has been your favorite part about, you know, joining your organization?
I think the best part for me is being a part of the Divine Nine, the historically Black fraternities and sororities. The thing about my fraternity is we're the youngest. So our founders, a lot of the other org's founders have passed away because they're 50 plus years older than we are. And I got to meet most of my founders before some of them passed recently. So that was a game-changing experience for me to talk to these guys to see what their vision was for IOTA back, you know, 1963, in the heart of the civil rights movement. So that's where my fraternity was founded in Baltimore, Maryland, and me getting a chance to visit them at Conclave and some of the regional meetings. That was really some of the highlights that I can cherish for the rest of my life. We just lost one of our brothers last week, Frank Coakley, and I met him at the 2015 Conclave in Memphis. So just to share a couple moments with him about the fraternity, that really was something special that I'll treasure the rest of my life.
Yeah, for me, similar to Colin, like our founders are still living to this day. Kind of talked to him pretty much on a consistent basis, man. That dude is hilarious.
Hey, too much.
Man, right, Mr. Marvin Randolph, good guy, good man. Appreciate him, you know, creating this organization. So talking to him and, you know, learning from him, you know, seeing what he, you know, was thinking out and sought out for the organization and, you know, continuing to this day. And secondly, I would say the mentorship. So community development that they're doing in South Side of Chicago. I've got some mentees that I'm still connected with that's in Illinois right now because I'm currently in Missouri. So just, you know, changing lives and changing that narrative, man. That's what's big for me.
Not to be cliche, but I think it's hard to pick something, your favorite moment, but I think every part of the journey to becoming a brother and post brotherhood has been my favorite part. To me in particular, I think there's two parts, the good and the bad. I've enjoyed the bad, which may sound weird, but it's been a growing experience for myself and for our chapter and our brotherhood, because at times you may say that, oh, I'll join the organizations because we all think alike or we all come from different similar backgrounds. But at the same time, while we kind of do, we also come from different mindsets, and us kind of bumping heads, being able to learn off each other's ideas is what's helped us grow, helped our chapter grow, and helped me see the world differently, see different people differently, and help me become more culturally competent when I get to deal with other students, to get to hear where they come from. Because we're all privileged to some extent. So it's great to hear what other people, what other bros had come from themselves.
Yeah, I know, for us similar, like you all, we're founded in 1986. So it's not like it was too long ago. You know, we have founding fathers that are very well and alive and active, and some inactive, right? And so I think one thing we do want to consider is, like, you know, we're definitely a work in progress, but the growth of Sigma Lambda Beta has been ridiculous. Like within the last, you know, couple, what is it, it's almost 30 years, we've accomplished so much. And we have brotherhoods across the nation, man. Like, I've never been exposed to such a huge network, such a diverse network. And, you know, we started as, we continue to be a multicultural Latino-based organization, but that just brings more opportunity for us to kind of reassess and consider, like, what does that really mean to be Latino, right? There looks a lot of different ways and shapes and forms, and it comes from a lot of different places, man. And so it's just a constant learning experience, man. I think that's one thing that I'm so appreciative, and like one thing that I will always take away from the frat, the most memorable thing is, like, there's always a learning experience around the corner, like always. You just got to find it. You got to look for it. If it's being the dean, you know, if it's crossing, right? If it's running a conference, if it's creating an organization, whatever it is, like that to me is the organization in itself. So I don't know, man, I think all of my successes and memories within academia, they have a SLB foundation for sure.
I think going off of what Josiel was mentioning, I think one thing that I kind of always enjoyed is hosting events, giving back to our community. For our pillars, we always did a community service, and one of them was actually cultural awareness, and we always hosted events that would give back to the community. Being at predominantly white institutions, it is really nice to see, to help educate the people who may not be from our background about our culture, about our traditions, whatever it may be. And it was... it was stressful hosting events, but it was always a great benefits and a great, satisfactory once the events were over.
So I ain't going to even lie. So I always tell people, like, one of the things that I love about the org is just that you do have those older brothers that you can learn from. You know, being the oldest on the line, and I'm the oldest brother in real life, so I always wanted an older brother, right? Where, because a lot of times you make all the mistakes, like nobody can give you the gems to not making those mistakes. And, you know, coming into the fraternity, like, you know, I was given all of these older brothers where you can learn from, you know, the mistakes that they made, but also they're going to give you them gems to have. And so I think that's like the one thing that I really, you know, embrace, you know, where it's like, I'm like, all right, I got all these brothers, you know, how do I stay in contact with them? And a lot of people like commend me because they're like, man, James, like, you do a great job in keeping in contact with, like, you know, people on the newer end of like being in the chapter to, like, you know, the founding members of the chapter, where they be like, man, James, like, you talk to everybody. They'd be like, man, like, y'all don't know just how much I wanted, you know, I wanted the brothers. And for me, being like, we was just joking before we started the video up where, you know, I started college, you know, in August of 2010. And so since I started so long and I crossed in 2014, it was a lot of bros on campus during that time where they knew me, they might have had visions of joining, you know, but nobody, like I said, nobody ever like really approached like, hey, we need to get James, you know, in the mix, you know? And so that just kind of cultivated our relationships because we did have a, you know, a relationship if it was working or just being around each other. And so, but I'm just grateful like for that aspect of it, right? Where, you know, I could be the little brother sometimes and just, you know, sit back and, you know, and learn from people. So that's been like one of my favorite things. And I think the programming too, it gave me a platform where, you know, you could do programming and, you know, I think to y'all point, like the culture competency where like, you know, that's a lot of the program I was doing when I came in. And, you know, I want to shout out to y'all because I don't remember what year it was, but I remember, like, I want to say it was like 2012 probably, but I went to a beta program during Black History Month, and they was talking about like the Blacks in Mexico and had like a whole presentation in the Center for Black Studies. And that really resonated with me where I was like, I'm like, yo, this is dope, but you don't hear a lot of people, you know, talking about that. So I think like being in these organizations, it opens your eyes and your ears to just some other cultures that you may not be aware of. And so I think that'll lead me into the next question. Let's kind of talk about, council life and maybe cohabitating, you know, with other Greek organizations. And so how was that? So I know we all have our respective councils that we reported to. What were some of the, like I said, the good, maybe the bad and the ugly, if anybody feel like sharing?
I actually liked when we did, it was like Greek week. Each semester, it was a week out of the semester where we joined other councils to kind of learn how everybody, you know, runs, organizes, teach them different stuff. They teach us stuff. I remember we got with, my frat had the Jewish fraternity. I forgot their name. They were new on campus. They had a big house and everything. So we was teaching them how to stroll, like Iota's, and they opened up the crib, man. We had the most cracking party. They knew people. We knew people. I still talk to one of my guys to this day, Jack, man. Man, it was cracking. Like, they brought people. They didn't know we knew so many people. Like, a whole house party just packed. Like, you know, the MPHC Greeks don't really have the houses on Greek Row like that. So, you know, we're limited to apartments, or you had to do something on campus. But his fraternity, I think they were a part of IFC. Don't quote me wrong. But
yeah, more than likely, yeah.
Yeah, they were all on the street with all the big guys. So we had the nice crib, man. They were so welcoming. And it was just like, it basically was like they ain't never reached out to honestly any other orgs, like Black orgs or anything. So we just kind of all linked together. And it's been so many other orgs. The Swans I've worked with doing community service. I really like the Greek Week. It gives you a chance to see on the other side that you might not see. And it take you out your comfort zone. Don't get me wrong. I love MPHC, but sometimes you got to branch off and check out other stuff sometimes. So, yeah.
Yeah, for me, being a part of the UGC, United Greek Council, it was more of the multicultural council. So not the all Black like MPHC, which gave us a little bit more more room to really do what we wanted to do, I would say. It gave us some more, like for programming, event planning and everything like that, gave us more options to do. I know the best part for me, I would say, was, collaborating with different organizations outside of our councils as well, kind of like how Colin was saying. We were able to, still collaborate with MPHC, do events together, like our lip sync competition. We had them strolling, a part of it, collaborating with them on that. So yeah, just being collaborative, I would say, would be the best thing for me.
Yeah, I think, I think for us, what I thought was kind of dope too, that, with time, when I started, my cousin pretty much just brought all this information to me. Once I crossed, once I became a member, man, I really was able to see the privilege that came with the fraternity, with all the history that came, the different type of essentially history. And you got to acknowledge, for us, we definitely got to acknowledge the Fern family. You know, we our founding father, one of our founding fathers was a Sigma. You know, he was a part of Phi Beta Sigma Incorporated. And that pretty much sprouted growth into Sigma Lambda Beta, which then created also Sigma Lambda Gamma. And together we kind of create this firm family, right? And so at my institution, we were pretty close. We were able to kind of distinguish certain things, and we were able to really peep game from one another, to be quite frank with you. I still do believe that at my institution, that was a shocker for not just a lot of students, but to a lot of organizations, that we could get along, and not just get along, but accomplish great things together. There was a lot of great programming that came across. And so, we were ultimately a part of the UGC at the time, which was the United Greek Council. And at that time, like, we were still growing. You know, we were still trying to identify what the need was for our council, I want to say, because there were so many different multicultural organizations coming in. I think it's hard to understand the cultural competency that it takes to cater to each ethnic group. And it's not easy for sure. And so it was great, man. Like just to learn from different cultures through fraternity life was probably one of my favorite moments for sure, man. Absolutely.
Yeah, I think that's one of those opportunities that don't really arise a lot. Being in councils, it does overall give a stigma to a lot of people. It doesn't give a stigma, but many tend to just want to stay within the council. So when they branch off to other organizations, it's mostly within the council. But when we got in like Greek Week events, basic on campus, that's when like all councils basically get paired up in like teams of four or five, depending on the size of the organizations. That's when some of the coolest events happen, because you get to reach out and talk to organizations you may have never branched out to, whether it be them not wanting to contact your organization or your organization contacting them. That's one of the coolest experiences. And for those who are listening, whatever organization you may join in the future, always branch out to different organizations, because that looks good on you guys. Being able to collaborate with anybody on campus. And it's also a great experience because that cultural competency helps out, helps you guys learn, help your organization learn about other orgs, and they get to learn about you too.
Man, I think that's a great point, right? Where, you know, some people forget sometimes that, you know, you should work with everybody. And so like, I think that was one of the best things on my end, right? Because, you know, being in Phi Rheta, we are a Black Greek letter organization, right? But we were in the multicultural council. And so with us, I think just off back, we had to, you know, be able to cross those boundaries, because within the council, you know, you want a good rapport with the council, but then outside of the council, we were still doing programming because we knew who we were programming for. I liked a lot of aspects of it, you know, just, you know, some of the connections. Like I like when I joined the council, like I joined the org, and you joined the council and you see familiar faces. Like I come into, you know, a council meeting to see somebody like Sergio, I'm like, oh bro, and okay, bet, you know, and you know, you can have, you know, conversations, and that's continually like helping y'all grow even more, even though like we solid, like, but that's just giving us more airtime with each other to see. So that's one thing I enjoy, like where, you know, being able to, you know, meet new people. And I remember one time randomly, you know, since we talking, like I'm randomly at the bar with like some of our roommates. And so this girl come up to me, you know, she having this whole conversation. She was like a swine that had graduated. So she was talking, and then she was like, you know, are you Greek? Like this another. And I was like, yeah, you know, I'm in Phi Rheta, whatever. She's like, oh, you're in Phi Rheta. She was like, well, this another. And long story short, she's trying to say like, oh, make sure you, you know, you be involved and you go for leadership positions in the council, this and other. And then I was like, I said, it's funny you said all that. I said, I've done all of that. She was like, huh? I said, like, yeah. I said, you know, I came in and there was an opening. And so I was the judicial chair for a bit, you know, where, you know, it gives you the opportunity for, you know, other leadership opportunities. But I told her, she was like, wow, I didn't expect that, because, you know, I'ma say this, you know, but like, none of my bros before me had, I guess, took that initiative to, you know, take the step and being on a council e-board. And so with me, she was like she seen me at the bar, seen me interacting with people. She was like, hey, this is something that you need to do. And I was just like, hey, that's funny, because I'm the judicial chair right now. And so, but it was just great, you know, having that outing, but also just that connection with those people. Like, I definitely don't regret it. And I had a lot of fun, like that 1 year undergrad, and you know, between the council and just being Greek, man, I had a lot of fun. We did a lot. Like I felt like, you know, outside of business, like we had a lot of fun. I feel like sometimes with business, you know, you can see people being, I want to say too strict, because who am I going to tell somebody being too strict? But I think we just had a lot of fun. And like I said, I have a lot of memories from that 1 year. You know, of undergrad, that I was in a fraternity and that I was on the council executive board. But I feel like some of those same people, when I see them today, they're willing to, you know, like they're willing to listen to me, but also too, it's not uncommon for us to link up during homecoming pre-COVID, you know, and be able to say like, hey, you know, let's kick it. Let's have a conversation, you know, and things of that sort. So, you know, I think that's the silver lining of it, where like, if you make the connections, those people will be there.
For our informational presentation, I updated it once I started, I think I became president. And one of the slides we had was collaborations. So apart from our council, we listed like 20 other organizations on campus that we've collaborated with in like the last 2 years. And people were like, you guys have worked with all those organizations? I'm like, yeah, like never hurts to reach out to them and just work on a few events. Mm-hmm. And also take the initiative to work with organizations that are non-Greek as well. Giving back to the working with those definitely help reach a different target audience. And you never know when some people might want to join your organization. And there's also a stigma about Greek organizations overall that we could probably save for another question in the near future. But yeah, so it just helps out to branch off overall.
All right. So the next question is, how can I join your organization? How does one join? What advice do you have somebody who may be seeking membership into your organization?
I would say for my fraternity, even though with the events of COVID, there's always a channel to reach out, especially our website. We have like a inquiry page that you can fill out and it would go to the region that you're interested in and would get dropped down to the college, different things like that. Always social media. You can always hit up the frat pages. We got plenty of those depending on where you are. And you can go on your college website as well. They have a page of every council, every chapter, you know, active or not active. Just to show you who's in charge, like the president. So you would see that person and you would connect with them. But just, it takes a lot for students these days to kind of take the initiative. That's why they like to be approached more so than just, hey, here's a flyer or something. Because 9 times out of 10, they're not going to read it. And if it's no free food or something involved, you know, it's not going to strike their interest. So you got to be creative. And it's our job, you know, as a seasoned Greek people to, you know, reach out, find the talent we need. Reach out to the resources and keep them going, because we need to bring in people for our orgs too. Money is everywhere. So a fraternity is a business just like anything else. So just got to use your resources and be resourceful to find what you need. And I would say check out multiple orgs too, not just one. You know, you could grow up knowing somebody, but if you're not really feeling them on campus, or, you know, it's always good to branch out. That's my opinion.
Yeah, I would say go to our page as well, and connecting with our bros. So just don't be, you know, I would say the Ebonic word thirsty when you're trying to join an organization. When you're trying to join, don't, you know, be all, you know, kissing up and all of that. Just be genuine and build a genuine connection, and just show your interest. So just supporting their events or just supporting what they do individually, I would say. And just connecting with either James, myself, and then also going to faraway.org and connecting with our founders that still will reach out to you. And yeah, that's what I'll say.
Yeah, man, definitely do your research. You know, there's a lot of organizations. There's literally, you know, all types of professional, non-professional, Greek, non-Greek. There's so many clubs and things on campus. So I think the big idea is to get involved. And if you get involved, don't just become a member, become a leader to that, right? But if you are going to consider the Greek life, man, you want to consider a lifetime worth of membership, essentially. You know, when I joined my organization, you know, when they said lifetime, I saw brothers from 80, from you know, 89, essentially. And I, you know, our chapter was 189. And so we have a lot of history. And so we try to kind of maintain as much history that we need. You know, there's good, there's bad, like Sergio said. And so we try to capitalize on what it is that pushes us forward. Right now, what we do have is a scholarship that we offer. You know, I'm right now the chair of the scholarship committee for our chapter. And we offer, you know, three different $500 scholarships a year. And that's huge for us. That's what we want to do, right? We want to lead by example and kind of provide different avenues for students, not just Greek life, but all students to kind of find their space on campus. That's what we want to promote. That's what we're for. We definitely believe in quality over quantity. That's we've been down to two men before on campus. We've been down to one man before on campus, you know, and so since 89, we haven't cracked. And so we have something that works for us, but it definitely doesn't mean that we can't get better. And I think that's where we are now. We're like recalibrating, right? Post-COVID, we're trying to understand how can we re-engage students. One thing I will say about us, man, is that like kind of to Sergio's point, I'll throw it out there, man. I'll throw the key out there. The key out there is to be involved in other organizations, and people will always want to be a part of yours. Always. That's it. Like they're gonna see your face regardless of what's on your chest, right? They're gonna want to be like you. And ultimately, man, you'll see that once you get to that level, Greek life is a brotherhood in itself, right? Fraternities are a brotherhood within themselves, because once you get to the career, man, I love to see anybody in any Greek life. I'm just happy that I'm around other folks similar that could relate to me, that could, you know, catch a joke with me if I need to, and likewise for them. So, you know, Greek life could be everything and nothing at the same time, right? It's all about what you invest in it, what you want to get out of it, and you'll most likely get out of that if it's the organization that's right for you.
Yeah, do your research. Jose just hit it on the spot. Do your research, because there's a lot of stigmas in regards to fraternities and sororities. For those who are not familiar with fraternities, the only time you'll really see us in your high school times might be on the news. You'll find out certain incidents that happen all the time. But I do take pride in regards to a lot of us minority organizations, is that we do a lot for our community, and we do a lot for our own brothers and sisters in the sororities to help get to the end goal of graduating, because that's what we're all there to help out each other to graduate. We do have social events too, I'm not gonna lie, but our main priority is always to focus on the academics. So do your research, and also do your own decisions. Just because an organization or fraternities or Greek life might not be for person A, doesn't mean it may not be for you as well. Because sometimes there are people who have bad experiences. For example, person A goes to a restaurant and doesn't like the food. It could tarnish it for person B, but person B might have a good experience. So just definitely do your research, have your own firsthand experiences, and then take it upon yourself to be cool with the organizations. Like Sam said, be humble. Don't try to overdo it and try to be cool, come around all the time. Just be humble, be yourself, and then you'll definitely get that experience, and then you'll get the recruitment. As long as you're an asset to yourself, they could see you as an asset to the organization, then they'll try to recruit you into it, and then you'll be welcome on board to start the whole process. So just be humble, do your research, and everything falls in line from there, that point forward.
Simply put, if you're solid, everyone's going to want you. Like, it's that simple. It doesn't matter how you look or what you think. If you're a solid individual, right, and you're willing to learn, I'm pretty confident that almost any organization is willing to give you a shot. So be you, you know, like everyone has said, but, you know, be confident.
Was I Scott- a solid individual?
What was that?
Was I a solid individual?
Man, at that point, you had become president of Seoul, so I gave you the clear.
It's kind of like what Lamar Jackson says, always stay true. You know, we'll notice that, and that's how you can go. A lot with these orgs, some of them are lifetime commitments. So the work begins after you become a member, and it goes on until you perish. So it's just not something just to get a couple years in and out, because it's always work to be done. And it's always a lot of help to help in hand, mentor. You know, I know Sam and James, we're in different fraternities, but we real close. You know, we network. You know, we make it work. We reach out to each other when we need something. Me and Sam, you know, he came to Kansas City, you know, because I was at a company at the time to network. You know, when you know bros in your field, they can put you on so easy. It's about who you know, not what you know. So always use your resources.
Yeah. And you want to say something, Shep?
Yeah, real quick, man. But yeah, basically what I was saying, you know, do the work, you know, before you join, of course. But, you know, when you actually in the organization, just don't be that shirt wearer and then letting the letters make you. You got to make those letters. So, you know, if they like Jose said, like, you got to be that solid individual, like even before and after. So you got to make sure you put in that work, because that's when it actually starts. So that's all I was going to say.
Appreciate it. So I was going to say, so I agree a lot with what Jose was saying. We're like, you know, I think being Greek, it has its own brotherhood, right? You know, so like in a professional setting, when you get around people, like y'all can joke about certain stuff and they're gonna give you passes that they're not gonna get a next person. I'm just being real. Like one of my professional mentors is in a DNAT org. He's a Sigma, and we talk all the time, and he be telling me stuff like, he said, man, he said, if it's somebody that's Greek, he told me, he gave me the gem, like, man, we point that out, you know, and let people know, like, all right, this is what it is, because we're going to approach that interview differently than, you know, the next interview. And so it is its own, you know, brotherhood in its own. We just have, you know, we're just a part of different organizations with, some could say, a similar mission, similar goals, similar outcomes. And so the one thing I'll say is that, you know, with just being a potential member and seeking membership, you know, I don't want to say take your time, but like I took my time, right? Where I was in semester 8 when I sought membership into my organization. For granted, I lost out on a lot of time where I could have grew within the organization, right? Where like, to Josiel's point, to my ship point, Sam, I see the notion of if you come into the organization as a freshman and sophomore, how you can just grow, where like I felt like the growth measure in the fraternity was different than a lot of non-Greek organizations because it's really all hands on deck. And so I missed out on a critical development. For granted, I was doing a lot elsewhere, but I feel like I could have had more impact if I would have came into the fraternity earlier. But, you know, I would say take your time, but also I agree with some of the other, you know, comments that were said, were like, you know, don't be too thirsty, kind of keep that information privileged to, you know, your contact person in that organization. So if it's, you know, one person you may know. And the other thing is too, is I would always tell people just do community service as well, where like, I want somebody that's doing community service. Like, I'm not gonna lie, like I know in college, we were kind of known for throwing the biggest on-campus party at NIU. And I didn't want people who just wanted to be around us for that. I wanted to see somebody that was well-rounded and both, hey, pull up the study tables, but also, hey, let's go do this community service on a Saturday morning, a Sunday morning. You know, those are the type of people that I want to see. And, you know, even as a professional, like they talk about lifetime commitment. You know, I've been pleasured to be in a few different roles where, you know, I've been the national service chair for our organization for an extent. And then even like now, I'm a chapter president on a graduate level. And so any potential members, quite frankly, got to come through me, you know, and we're like, and I'm not saying I'm like this big mean monster, but there are certain things that, you know, I want to see from individuals joining. And a lot of it is, like I said, I want to see what you're doing for the community. Like, you know, I want to see, you know, what I want to see if you're going to get up on a Saturday morning at 7 o'clock to go do this community service. Like, I want to see those things. Like, I don't want you to just come around when we kicking it. I want to see the whole you.
If they got it. No, let me stop.
And so I do want to be respectful of everybody's time. So this is normally the part of the show where I ask y'all, do y'all have any questions y'all want to ask the panel? Any information you feel that would be useful to anybody seeking to go Greek?
I think one question I like to ask is how different do you think you'd be today if you didn't join your Greek organization?
I mean, I'll go first. I probably wouldn't really step out of my comfort zone ever, I would say. I know a lot of people, like I know when I was a freshman, I would probably just be partying a lot. I would say it kind of made me grow up a little bit more. I was involved already, but I was more involved on the social settings. And then also I would do mentoring on the side, but I would say it made me grow up a lot and actually, you know, be on my stuff, man, like really be on my business and networking. The network is like huge. Like I would, like what Colin said, like I wouldn't even be in Kansas City right now if I didn't know Colin outside of another organization, just being part of that Greek network and, you know, we got similar backgrounds, similar majors. So that I wouldn't even be in Kansas City. Like, I never even thought about moving to Kansas City, like never in my life. Once I graduated, I made that move and it's been life changing. So the network is probably the number one, I would say.
Yeah, I think, man, I'll be completely honest with you. I think graduation was my, you know, that was just it for me. It was just like, I felt that I just didn't see graduation happening. I'm being quite frank with you. I kind of went in with the mentality thinking it wasn't going to happen. You know, people from my high school didn't really necessarily consider the college life. At that time, I was playing ball, and my ACT was definitely not where it needed to be at that time. To play D1 football. And so there was a few different patches, man. And so at that time, I kind of, I saw light and I gripped on tight to it, man. It was just that simple to me. It was just like, I don't know anything about this. And so I kind of have to owe my graduation to the fraternity. That's to be quite frank with you. If it wasn't for the fraternity, I don't believe I would have, I mean, you know, freshman year was challenging within itself, aside of pledging, but even without pledging, if I wouldn't have pledged, I probably would have dropped out sooner, and I didn't drop out, so there you go.
Man, for me, I think one of my biggest accomplishments, even outside of the Greek life, just getting 2 degrees from a college. I was one of those kids who I had a 4.0, 4.2 GPA in high school, but my ACT was like an 18. Like, nobody was looking at me. And NIU had a program. It's actually Deacon Davis is from Rockford, Illinois, and he actually preached with my father back in the day. So he had a program that I didn't know nothing about. And when I got invited to go attend, that opened up so much for me. It was a scholarship that I couldn't get in high school because of my ACT score. And so I had a 4.0 my first semester. And you talking 50K until I graduated. So it's big. Like, I worship that every day, just getting the opportunity, because I didn't have to have that chance. And it was me being motivated to make the most out of my opportunities, even on campus, leadership roles, being an RA, and just giving back to the community. And my frat was there at the end for me. That was my last, literally, checkbox to complete my college career. It made me a great man, and it made me who I am today. So you just got to keep focused, and you got to chase your dreams, because nothing is given to you in life. You definitely got to earn it the hard way. Yes, sir.
Man, I think for me, so I feel like I don't want to say I would be the same. I think like the big thing for me is how I spend my time. So I tell my fraternity brothers this all the time, right? You know, so given that I'm back in Chicago, given that, you know, I still been living in a hood that I grew up in, you know, like, I always tell my bros, I'd be like, man, I said, if I went kicking it with y'all, I'd probably be back on the streets doing who know what, just because it's easy to fall into, you know, stuff that you know, and being around people, you know, who you with. And so I think outside of that, we're like, you know, I'm allowed to, you know, spend my time away from that, because like, you know, I'm always doing stuff with bros. You know, if it's you know, the Chicago alumni, or if it's just the Zeta alum from NIU, where we just like, all right, man, we're going to do something. And so it just gets you out of the environment. You still getting to have new experiences. So I think like how I spend my time, because like, I feel like if I wasn't in the org, I feel like I'd probably be back on the streets doing, you know, who know what, maybe even have a record, because we know how to police harass, you know, black and brown males. In the hood. And so, and I tell people that to that day, where like, you know, I don't,
if you don't mind me adding, James,
go for it, bro.
On campus, bro, on campus. I mean, a lot of the work that we strive to do, not just with, you know, Black Male Initiative, but with Supporting Opportunity with Latinos, was trying to get the campus police to tone down a little bit to what we were, right? And ultimately, we were in this, you know, middle of nowhere, in middle cornfields. And imagine that. We were the successors of those that didn't make it to the hood, and we're still treated like we were in the hood.
That's a hell of a perspective. And I'm glad you said that too, right? Because it's playing this memory, and it's like triggering me, right? Where like literally, you know, for granted, I was down at NIU for 7 years, right? And I ain't gonna lie, one of the incidents where like I'm like, oh, the police solid and whatnot. But then it took for me to go Greek to have an incident where I'm like, okay, this is why we do it. And for granted, I get why people didn't like the police. Like I said, I'm from the south side of Chicago. So I didn't have my run-ins with the police there. But like it was this one incident I remember after I crossed and I was in the car with two of my fraternity brothers. And it was just like, oh, so y'all really gonna harass us, right? There's no way we should get pulled over twice within a 2-block span because, you know, my bro at the time had an older Jaguar and they like, oh, you know, you black, you shouldn't have that Jaguar. That's pretty much what it came down to. And then sent us on a runaround at, you know, at 4 o'clock in the morning, right? Where like, oh, you need to go bail this person out. It's like, what are you talking about? Like, and now for granted, we did what we had to do. And then the police like, oh, he didn't tell you he had the money the whole time, but it was just like the police was like literally, you know, pulling our fingers. And I think that's a great point, you know, where like that is all we strive to do, like so on the college campus, where you want to have those conversations with the peers, with the faculty and the police officers, but also hold those police officers accountable, right? Where I know we did a Know Your Rights program every year. You know, where we would invite the police officers and y'all know this, y'all know what I'm speaking on, but like, even after Chief Grady was let go from the school, I had brought him back for a program to speak. And, you know, and some people was like, well, he said, James, he said, man, he was like, are you ready for this? I'm like, man, what you talking about? He said, man, he said, they not gonna like you bringing me back to campus to speak. I said, if you wanna come, we gonna have you on the campus. And that man, he preached, like, I ain't gonna lie, you know, and just saying, you know, what we should be doing. But I think in some regards, you definitely had some good police officers, because one of my mentors is a police officer from down at NIU. Like, we talk all the time, you know, but also know that every police officer didn't have the same intentions as he did, right? Where he'll keep it a buck, like, hey, y'all was wrong, y'all supposed to do this, you know, versus some of the other officers. You can tell they might have been trying to stay in good graces with certain people or to appease a certain demographic of people. So anybody else, any questions you want to ask the panel?
Yeah, man. Has anyone talked to Don Bramley? I think, you know, one thing that you mentioned earlier, James, was like, what really brings us all together? And, you know, I still hold true to what I said from the get, man. Graduation was what got us all essentially to college, right? Was our underlying goal was graduation. I know for me, it was Donald Bramlett, and he's a Q-Dog, he's Omega Phi Psi. And it just goes to show that it doesn't matter what your org is, you know, you can have an impact if not bigger outside of your org, just by being, you know, loyal to who you are and holding down your morals. So I had a shout out Don Bramlett, right? Because he was the founder to Black Male Initiative, Support and Opportunity for Latinos, and so many other organizations that I know I'm missing. And so it's just about being that, right? Being the reason to other folks' success. That's the ultimate success, if you ask me.
Yeah, Teflon Don, he actually has a daughter that lives out this way. So he comes about once a year. It was before COVID. He was out here like making summer trips. Me and him would always go play. We would go play pool at Side Pocket in North KC. And he just got a new phone and stuff like that. So he's been trying to have everybody. He always hit me up, Colin, send out the message to the group to tell him I'm good. And people be hitting him up. Yeah, Don, me and him talk often. Now, we just talked around the holidays, checking in on him. No, he getting older, so you know, our father figure, Omega Man, Teflon Don. So
man, yeah,
gotta look out.
The Don father. That's what I've been calling him. And man, I actually was just thinking about Don. Like, I ain't gonna even lie, because right before COVID hit, Don had connected me to this doctoral student because she was writing about Black Male Initiative for her dissertation. So I was one of the 10 BMI alums that she interviewed for her dissertation, and she had just sent us out the finalized dissertation because she graduated in December. And I was like, man, I gotta hit up Don. I'm like, this stuff is cold. Now for granted, I'm not going to lie and say I read through the whole thing because it was like 180 pages, but it was just dope to just see the testimony of Don from starting Black Male Initiative and his historical concept of it. And then just seeing like the different brothers contribute from Black Male Initiative based on their own experience. So, you know, I tell people Don family. So Don, he good in my book. Like, I ain't gonna lie. Like, you know, I definitely feel bad because I haven't connected with him in a bit, but he's definitely been on my
it's not too late, man. It's not. Just told you, he got a brand new iPhone. And yeah, bro, like, you know, the best thing that we could do, you know, as I learned to be an educator, you know, follow his footsteps, James and even Sergio, you might agree that, like, sometimes seeing other people's successes tenfold yours is the greatest thing ever, man. Whenever you're able to connect someone to an opportunity, bro, that's the best bridge ever. And that's what Don was to all of us. You know, we're able to connect with one another. And yeah, bro, like, it's never too late. So I know I check in with Don often as well. You know, we've done a lot of great work with the Empowerment Conference. And yeah, man, it's never too late to check in, bro.
And I think it's just great to have that type of resource. So I know, I think me and Hosea had this conversation, maybe even me and Sergio, where, like, you know, I ain't gonna lie, them first 2 years as a professional was tough, right? Because you go from having this great support system of, like, you know, I had Mr. Smith, Don, Officer Shaw, and others, right? Kielo. And then you go where, like, you're not seeing them every day or a few times a week. And then, like, actually, like, you got to kind of get on their list, too, to get in contact with them because they're still, you know, advising and working with students at the school. So it's, like, not saying you're not a priority, but it was tough the first couple of years. But I have been grateful, like I said, because, you know, Don, you know, Mr. Smith and all of them, like, James, you know, what's up? Hey, you know, we got you, and this and other. So, but, you know, just grateful to have, like I said, that support system because, you know, I think Greek and I, you know, people – And even Don cared. Like, I don't think I knew Don was Greek until it was like the Omega's Founders Day my freshman year. And Don was in Neptune North. We was doing the Talented 10th in a purple suit. Yeah, Omega, right? And I'm like, Don, the OG. And Don would be the first person to tell you. He'd be like, man, what's up with these colors? You know, they're the wrong colors, right? You know, but you gotta love it because that man has done so much, you know, for many, you know, and I think just having that Greek connection, you know, where it does warrant for other conversations, you know, on what he tries to put together for people. So, but having somebody like Don in your circle is great and life-changing. So, any other questions?
Well, I'm not sure if anyone's going to have more questions, but definitely if anyone wants to do like a second part to this in the near future, whoever's listening to us, definitely send James the questions that we could definitely do a second part to this.
Oh, yeah, I agree. And I need to get better. I've been saying one day soon, I'm a Facebook Live episode and just see what we can get from people in like live time, you know. Just something different, you know. So I'm not opposed to doing it, you know, but I think this is an important conversation, right? Because I think too many times you hear a lot of negatives about Greek. And a lot of that stems from what you see on TV, or maybe something somebody heard and they never experienced it or was Greek. I was a tour guide in undergrad, and I definitely used to get those questions all the time where, like, you know, the parents are like, but it's not, I said, no, being Greek is fun. Like, you know, you got to give them, you know, the talk because they just come into it with these biases. And it's like, nah, that wasn't my experience. And I tell people, like, hey, that wasn't my experience. I've had a blast. I had fun. And so we just want people to know that Greek life is fun. It could benefit you and you can learn and grow. And like I said, it is like on our end, everybody on this call, it is a lifetime commitment. So, you know, Farrah Ada, Ty Dye, Sergio, and Hosiel. You know, they represent Sigma Lambda Beta. Colin is Iota T Dye. And so these things are something like, if you're looking to get involved with something, this will keep you busy for life. Like, you know, it ain't no off days. And so, but we just wanted to, you know, just give y'all this first part, you know, because I felt like it was a conversation. And the one thing I learned from working professionally outside of community colleges, I didn't realize some schools didn't allow Greek life because of the negative connotation towards it. And I found that out when I worked my first professional job where, you know, yes, it was a religious school, but that wasn't the point. The point of it was like, hey, we think that'd be a bad look for the school. We don't want to invest any time, energy, and resources into that, where you had staff like myself who were advocating like, hey, we see, you know, Greek life can be a huge benefit, you know, for the school. It can help with enrollment and retention and things of that sort. And the school kind of didn't see it that way. They just saw all of the negative components of it. And so, but I didn't know that. And it was a four-year school. So it wasn't a community college. It was a four-year school. And so to me, that was an eye-opener as a professional, where it's like, all right, it's going to be some places that ain't going to be too receptive of Greek life. So with that, man, I want to thank all the brothers for joining me. Man, I appreciate y'all. Like, I had a blast. It was good to, like I said, to reminisce and see y'all in this virtual space. You know, when COVID over with, you know, we definitely got to have a barbecue somewhere.
Party bus. He said,
you know, I think I'm going to be back in KC real soon.
Slide.
Yeah.
Cinco de Mayo, what's up?
That's probably too much partying for my gig.
That sounds like the perfect party for me, man.
Pull up, James. Bring him up, man.
but I do appreciate y'all, man. These dudes, like, they like my brothers for real. Like, I ain't gonna lie. Like, I tell people that all the time. But like, I'm like, these dudes, you know, they real, they genuine, and they some good people. So, you know, even of course Colin, I think Colin, you graduated in 2016, right?
Yeah, with my master.
Yep. So, and we still keep in contact. Me and Hosiel graduated in 2017. I know Sergio just graduated, right? Or is that?
I graduated spring 2016 with my bachelor's, and I just did my master's last year.
You know, and we still keep in contact. You know, Sam, he don't got no choice. He stuck with me for life. That's my line, brother. So. We talk pretty regularly, but, you know, just to see how these connections created these friendships. And when you kick it, you know, it's genuine love, where, like, we are in different orgs, but, you know, we can kick in and have a good time and be there to support each other. Like, you know, and so I'm leaving on that. So anybody got any final words they want to lead the people with before we wrap up? I'm going to lead the mic to y'all.
Y'all soon.
Just appreciate you letting us on here, man. Love you, bro.
Follow your dreams. Appreciate the invite, James. You always hold it down for us, man.
All right.
Good stuff on this podcast, bro. Keep it up. Right.
Absolutely, bro. Proud of you, man. And, see you soon.